Larry King passed away, goes to heaven. He's greeted by St. Peter at the gates. St. Peter says, "Welcome, Mr. King. It's great to have you here." King says, "I just have one question. Is Rush Limbaugh here?" No. He's got a lot of time yet, Mr. King. So St. Peter begins the tour. Larry King sees the various places, finally gets to the biggest room of all with this giant throne. And over the throne is a beautiful angelic neon sign that says Rush Limbaugh. And Larry King looks at St. Peter and says, "I thought you said he wasn't here." "He's not, he's not. This is God's room. He just thinks he's Rush Limbaugh."
A voice that needs obviously no introduction in American radio today, Rush Limbaugh, for what, 18, 19 years. He has dominated talk radio, and especially conservative talk radio. Recently giving a speech in, late February at CPAC, a speech that created an awful lot of buzz for some of the things he said, and people are wondering, what kind of a leader does American conservatism, Reagan-style conservatism, need for the future? But what about Rush Limbaugh's worldview? Many people would claim to share his worldview, many of them Christians, but is Rush Limbaugh's worldview a Christian worldview? I'm not questioning whether Rush Limbaugh is a Christian or not. I'm asking, is his worldview Christian? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in this Monday. It's March the 23rd. This afternoon's program, the first hour, will be asking you that question and listening to a recent interview with Dr. John Mark Reynolds, asking and answering the question, is Rush Limbaugh's worldview Christian? Our call-in number for the next hour and the second hour of the program, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E, or you can email us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. We'll be listening to this interview. You can call or email anytime with your reaction to something that Dr. Reynolds has to say, or your answer to the question, do you think that Rush Limbaugh's worldview is a Christian worldview? 1-877-623-6943 or talkback@issuesetc.org. After that, we'll be talking with Kathy Sass of the Catholic Diocese of Springfield and with Ken Samples a little later in the program. I recently interviewed Dr. John Mark Reynolds. He's director of the Torrey Honors Institute and professor of philosophy at Biola University in La Mirada, California, author of two recent columns about Rush Limbaugh. I began by asking him, does Rush have a Christian worldview?
Well, I don't think so. If you look at everything he says over time, I see a real utopian view of humanity. If government will just leave us alone, we'll make all the right choices. Now, I should preface this by saying that for lots of reasons, I happen to be a small government person. I'm not a fan of big government. But here's what I know. People left on their own, if taxes were reduced to zero, if government disappeared, would not produce a sort of anarcho-capitalist paradise. People left to themselves would quickly want a fairly strong government to restrain their bad impulses. This is what the Founding Fathers believed, which is why we went from a fairly weak central government in historic terms to a fairly strong central government under the Constitution of 1789. So what I'm saying isn't new or radical. It's just saying there's a limit to how much you can cut taxes. There's a limit to how small government should be. And we can't look to business leaders or individuals or individualism as a kind of panacea to every particular problem.
I've listened to Rush Limbaugh for many years, in fact, from the very first year that he ever came on the air in national syndication. Less and less lately because I'm so much more busy. But I've noticed in his thought probably inklings of Ayn Rand and objectivist philosophy, this notion that every person pursuing his own enlightened self-interest, merely out for himself, really, will somehow bring about the betterment of everyone in society. Was that the worldview, the philosophical view of Ronald Reagan?
I don't think so. Remember, Ronald Reagan was an FDR Democrat who believed things had gone too far. Christians have traditionally believed that lots of forms of government were compatible with Christianity. If it left Christians alone to pursue following God and preaching the gospel. And so we've thought about this over time and finally come to the conclusion that a check and balance system where business and government and the church and individuals and social institutions like private clubs and organizations all balance each other out. They're all wicked in their own little ways. They can all be twisted, including church organizations, and be harmful. None of us are without sin. None of us are perfect, and no organization we form will be perfect. And so they set up a system where there was a central government strong enough to check big business. There were businesses strong enough to check the central government, and the hope was that this would provide maximum liberty. It's messy. It's not something ideologues can understand. How far is too far? When is the government too big? But too often, Rush sounds as if tax cuts are the solution to every problem and that government can become infinitely smaller. Now, let me say, and a lot of people who are critical of what I wrote pointed out, that the government is so big now, it's so full of pork and waste and too much spending, that why should we be critical of anyone who's wanting to cut the size of government? Well, I think the answer to that is that though I would favor most of the practical policies Rush advocates, if we don't have a Christian worldview, if we don't understand basic concepts like individuals need some check and balance on their own behavior, we'll ultimately make bad decisions in the long term.
I often hear Rush Limbaugh talk as though government needs strong checks and balances, but business, especially big business, doesn't need any checks and balances.
Well, I think that too often he does sound that way, but let's look at the example of food. American food is much cleaner now that we have some government intervention, making sure that we're not being poisoned and being fed food that literally is killing us today. My grandfather was killed by a company that decided that he should cut asbestos without a mask back in an era when they knew that cutting asbestos without a mask would be bad for him. They didn't inform him of this fact. They didn't provide him proper safety equipment. And business was big enough that they could ward off anything other than some government intervention. So sensibly over time, and Reagan recognized this sensibleness, Teddy Roosevelt and others, good Republican, developed government checks on the abuses that business leaders left to themselves had been perpetrating on the public. And these were, by and large, positive. Now, has government gone too far? Can government get into the business of over-regulating industry? I think we saw that most Americans by the 1980s agreed that it had gone too far. But to pretend that, for example, the world would be a better place if there was no government regulation of food, to pick a very simple example, is, I think, utopian in the extreme. We know what food looked like before the government intervened and what city people had to eat, and it wasn't some kind of perfect self-interested utopia. We were lied to and often poisoned, and businesses often poisoned their employees or harmed them. So without getting overly maudlin, somebody should just pick up a good Dickens book and read it all the way through. Some government is necessary to check big business because people aren't powerful enough to do it in themselves. Reagan believed this. Reagan left sort of basic regulatory structures intact. And so to pretend that anything else will work is, I think, utopian in the extreme. Just like, by the way, socialism, which pretends that government regulators are by their very nature any more honest than big business, is also utopian. We always have to be looking out for a convergence between those two things. We have to look out for graft and corruption, and that's where the free press and other social institutions come in. So it's not even enough to have big business and big government checking each other. We need strong families, we need strong churches, and we need strong civic institutions like, you know, the old women's clubs that can check government and business. And I'm afraid too many of those structures have become too weak to exercise much force.
It's an interesting idea that you mentioned there just a moment ago. I wonder, would you go so far as to say, obviously, with some qualification, that just as the socialists would put their hopes, pin their hopes upon unfettered government as the answer, As a mirror image of that, Rush Limbaugh conservatives might pin their hopes on unfettered markets. But both of them seem to have more in common in that respect than they don't.
Yeah, they have utopian views of a certain kind of human nature. And I don't see that in Reagan, and I don't see that. Reagan, of course, was given to apocalyptic visions occasionally. He would go too far in that direction. So I don't see it there, and we certainly don't see it in the Founding Fathers, who had, you know, kind of institutional distrust of everything and everybody, a pessimistic view of human nature, which made them sometimes too loath to trust any power to anyone. Now, then their problem was that mob rule, what they would have called mob rule, was equally fearful. So any belief that even the Constitution of 1789 is going to bring about a utopia is just foolish. Politics is not a science. It's an art, as Aristotle said it was, and we do the best we can. Now, I have to say about Rush that I'm not sure his views are consistent enough to really be called a political philosophy, or that he's thought things through well enough to have a political philosophy. I think he looks at the giant size of the federal government and rightly sees it as too large. He looks at the amount of money that's taken out of people's paychecks for taxes and things that look a lot like Ponzi schemes called Social Security, and he sees problems. The problem with people like Rush is I think that then they often assume that cutting everything is always good, or they can never bring themselves to just say, look, a lot of the reason we're in this problem is that business leaders are also corruptible.
More of our conversation with John Mark Reynolds when we come back from this break this Monday afternoon, March the 23rd. So do you agree or disagree with John Mark Reynolds? Call or email during the break. Our call in number 1-877-623-6943, 1-877-623-MYIE, or email us talkback@issuesetc.org. Do you think that Rush Limbaugh does have a Christian worldview? Do you think Rush Limbaugh has a utopian worldview? Dr. John Mark Reynolds, we're talking with him. He's director of the Torrey Honors Institute and professor of philosophy at Biola University in La Mirada, California, author of two recent columns about Rush Limbaugh, Rush Gave a Bad Speech, and Rush Limbaugh Conservative Leader. We'll be right back with more of that interview and your phone calls and your email after this.
No ditto heads allowed. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Conservatives are naturally happy. We seek happiness. We pursue it. It's part of who we are. Freedom is the natural yearning of the human spirit as we were endowed by our Creator. And the United States of America is the place in the world where that yearning flourishes, where freedom is expected because it's part of the way we're created.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Live this Monday afternoon, the 23rd of March. We're talking about Rush Limbaugh's worldview. Is it a Christian worldview? Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org, and our call-in number 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MYIE. Listening to an interview with Dr. John Mark Reynolds, director of the Torrey Honors Institute and professor of philosophy at Biola University in La Mirada, California. He's written two recent columns about Rush Limbaugh and that CPAC speech. The first one, Rush Gave a Bad Speech, and he followed it up with Rush Limbaugh, Conservative Leader. What about his worldview? Do you think Rush Limbaugh has a utopian worldview from a conservative perspective? Is it a Christian worldview? 1-877-623-6943 or talkback@issuesetc.org.
GM made their own problems. It just wasn't government that caused the problem for GM. We can't trust big business any more than we can trust big government. And that's something, if Rush ever says it, it's a throwaway line. I'm not sure in years, and I've listened to Rush for years too, of years of listening to Rush, that he's ever held industry's feet to the fire. And yet industry can be responsible for real social harms, not just the government. So Christians, especially conservative Christians like I am, need to be careful not to give business a pass when they harm people just because they're not the government. People who are harmed, people who are starved or who can't make a living or who aren't given adequate health care by their businesses are no less harmed than they would be if they were harmed by the government. And saying that doesn't make you a socialist or a liberal.
Since Rush doesn't spend a lot of time on the air talking about social issues like abortion, embryonic stem cell research, gay marriage, why do you think so many American Christians believe that Rush does speak for them?
Well, I have to say that I think it's only a small group of American Christians and a small group of conservatives. Let's remember, I mean, the conservative party, by and large, in the United States is the Republican Party, a party that my family has belonged to since Abraham Lincoln freed Western Virginia from oppression by those nasty Virginians. So it's a family tradition to be Republican. And since that time, we've been more or less the conservative party in the United States. And Rush, by himself, could not influence the primaries in the Republican Party. He hammered day after day against two of the three top candidates in the Republican Party and his favored candidates, Fred Thompson and Mitt Romney, and I actually voted for Mitt Romney, let me say, in the primaries, did relatively poorly, given the money and hopes put into their candidacy. So Rush is a favorite of a certain very loud, vocal minority of people who are about my age or older. When I wrote about Rush, and remember, I wrote in a very sympathetic manner to most of what he says and commended a lot of what he's done for America, I received an overwhelmingly negative response from people over the age of 45. I received an overwhelmingly positive response in the sense that people just said, well, of course Rush isn't right about some of these things. Of course he's a bad public spokesman for Christians and for conservatives from people under the age of 45. So I think Rush has a huge but relatively narrow demographic slice of the American population. And we have to be careful in assuming that the people who make the most noise are the most people.
Do you think that Rush Limbaugh is a fit, I'm not fit in the sense of moral, but fit in the sense of his way of thinking, a fit leader for the future of American conservatism?
Well, I don't think he can be a leader because I don't think he's either a thinker or a doer. And that's not a put down. He's an edutainer. And there's something to be said for edutainment. You know, if I'm driving for 3 hours someplace and I want to hear something that's often entertaining, very provocative, and contains ideas I mostly agree with, then Rush Limbaugh is a great way to sit in a car and pass 3 hours of time as I'm driving down the boring and bland interstate highway system, which I'll point out was built by the federal government. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But to call that kind of person a leader for a general conservative movement is just ridiculous. He can't be a leader of a general conservative movement because he's neither an idea generator nor a person who's in the fray in politics, putting himself and his ideas and his personal life before the public. I'm not doing that either, by the way. I don't think of myself as a leader of any conservative thought. I'm sure you don't either. But Rush does kind of position and others put him in that role. And so it's worth our saying, well, he's not my leader. That's not the kind of leader we're looking for.
One thing I've also noticed is that if you listen long enough uncritically, you can listening to Rush Limbaugh, in a sense, kind of suspend your ability to think critically about issues. Do you agree?
Well, I think it's more this. If you become a fan of someone, I'm a fan of the Green Bay Packers. I love the Green Bay Packers. And I tend, even when they make bad personnel moves or they're having a bad season, to spend an inordinate length of time during the season thinking they could turn it around. So this year, as they were losing game after game, I still, deep in my heart of hearts, thought that they could make the playoffs way past the point I should have been believing it. In the same way, those of us who were pulling for John McCain to win the last election probably waited too long to recognize that the polls were right and we weren't going to win this race. You should, if you're a fan of Rush, and there's nothing wrong with that, you have to be careful that you haven't gotten to the point where you fall into that trap of not seeing the downside of what he's saying, of not being able to disagree. You just become a sort of fanatic fan, unable to do anything but respond that an attack on Rush is an attack on conservatism. Look, nobody thinks Rush should be thrown under the bus because our enemies don't like him. That's a great merit to Rush Limbaugh. But it doesn't mean I want my enemies to make him the driver of the bus either. I'm not going to let opponents of traditional Christianity or of conservatism, they're not necessarily always the same thing, pick the person that's going to be my leader any more than I'm going to throw Rush under the bus and say he does nothing good or I agree with nothing he says simply because I'm embarrassed by the fact that he turns off people under 40.
I wonder, he's often been asked to run for public office, but and I know this because I do this for a living, sitting in a studio talking about things, rather than the one who has to actually implement things. So I understand this very well, but I wonder, do you think if Rush Limbaugh were to actually run, be elected, and have to govern, his viewpoints might change?
Well, they would have to change. I mean, I'm one of the most pure politicians, and by pure I mean consistent ideologically, is Ron Paul. But Ron Paul has to work in Congress, and if you look over his entire lifetime of voting, he has voted for things that are arguably inconsistent with his libertarian philosophy. And he's made deals and made compromises to get a half a loaf instead of nothing. There's nothing wrong with that, by the way. I'm not being critical of that. I think that people who are fanatical or who are ideologues have never tried the art of governing. It's not so simple. I feel sorry for people who thought Obama was going to take office and simply, quote, do the right thing when, given the size of our government, knowing what the right thing to do is very, very difficult in most cases. It's not so simple. The world is full of black and whites in the sense of rights and wrongs, but it's also full of ambiguity, grays. And so any politician, whether it's a very libertarian politician like Ron Paul or a more expansive government politician like President Barack Obama, is going to have to make compromises. They're going to make mistakes. They're going to go left when they should have gone right, right when they should have gone left. And I hope the American public hasn't gotten to the point where we expect perfection out of our political leaders, ideological perfection. Look, we're on the radio. We're having a conversation. We can be omniscient. We know what we should do about everything. The poor politicians are in the harder world where they have to make calls that they're held accountable for when they don't turn out correctly. George W. Bush really believed there were weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. His best evidence, he thought, showed that they were there. So he made a call, and he was wrong. Well, most commentators and most politicians agreed with him. The problem was his call, whether the war was correct or not, one of his reasons for going, that was incorrect, and he had to live with the fallout. Rush doesn't have to live with that kind of fallout because he doesn't make that kind of decision. So he'd be insane to run for office. He has a much better gig. And bluntly, he does the conservative movement a lot more good from that golden microphone than he would if he ran for office anyway. He'd be a poor politician. He's not a very good debater. He doesn't do so well when he's facing a truly hostile audience. But he's excellent at what he does.
Folks, I want to hear from you. Do you think Rush Limbaugh has a Christian worldview? Our call-in number this Monday afternoon, March the 23rd, 1-877-762-3MYIE, 877-672-3694-3, or email us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. Is our guest, Dr. John Mark Reynolds, right or wrong about Rush Limbaugh? Talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org, or 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MYIE. Second hour of the program, Kathy Sass will join us to talk about reproductive rights in Illinois, and Ken Samples will join us to talk about the Christian worldview. I'm Todd Wilkin.
Smile. smartest listeners in radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Monday afternoon, March the 23rd. We're listening to an interview with Dr. John Mark Reynolds we did recently about Rush Limbaugh's worldview. He's director of the Torrey Honors Institute and professor of philosophy at Biola University in La Mirada, California. He's authored two recent columns about Rush Limbaugh and his CPAC speech that made so much news. Rush gave a bad speech and Rush Limbaugh, conservative leader. Our call-in number 1-877-623-6943. This is Audio Open Lines. We're going to hear about 4 or 5 more minutes of our interview with Dr. Reynolds, and then I want to hear from you. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. The question I've laid on the table for you, is Rush Limbaugh's worldview a Christian worldview, his view of man, his view of how a fallen world operates? 1-877-623-6943 or talkback at issuesetc.org. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Here's the conclusion of our interview with Dr. John Mark Reynolds on Rush Limbaugh's worldview. Two final questions. Early in our conversation, you talked about the founding fathers believing in small government, but government that is strong as a check and balance against the non-governmental agencies and powers in our society. Do you believe that this is an actual accomplishable goal, not without being utopian, small but strong government, where government ought to be strong?
Yeah, I think that if you look back, from, let's say, 1900 to 1950, we see a federal government catching up with the power of big international corporations and gaining the power to check their excesses. By the way, gaining the power to check excesses from big unions as well. And then somewhere around 1950, as Ronald Reagan would point out, the Democratic Party didn't leave. He didn't leave the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party left Ronald Reagan. People began to go from viewing government's role as mostly negative in the sense of looking for cheats and frauds and people who are overtly harming the American public, doing things that everyone agrees are immoral, to regulating, pencil shape and size and the color of paint that has to be used on particular houses. Government went too far. Now, when is too far? That's where the art comes in. But I think what most people would agree on is that somewhere in the mid-50s, big government proponents began to advocate a government that was too strong, and the balance of the future power began to tip in favor of small government people. And the government is still too big. We need to make government smaller. But we don't need to make government smaller in the areas where it's investigating fraudulent contracts that very powerful and rich people can push on, investors who are not educated in investment. So there is a role for government in doing things like protecting the safety of our food, protecting the safety of our automobiles, but government has gotten too expansive. So the weird thing, what am I saying that's strange? The weird thing is to say there is a role for government and for a social safety net, but that government we have now, the federal government, is too big and strong. And the state government we have in California is too big and strong in areas it has no business being in. In that sense, we agree with Rush. But in another sense, in finding no role for government that he ever lauds or defends, he departs from Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan would have defended things like some government role in inspecting food and medical health product safety and did so time and time again and defended a social safety net as a fallback. The argument was how much of a social safety net we needed, not should there be one. Reagan never advocated abolishing the entire social safety net or the entire regulatory system for government. Rush sometimes sounds like that's what he would be in favor of.
Finally, then, make the case. Why do you think that Rush Limbaugh doesn't have a consistent Christian worldview? About 30 seconds here.
Rush Limbaugh has too utopian a view of human individual excellence or goodness, the belief that if the individual were simply freed from all restraint, governmental restraint, he'd turn out well. Instead, as our founding fathers believed, based on their more biblical worldview, individuals can be just as nasty, businesses can be just as nasty as too big a government. They can be tyrannical as well. And so a biblical worldview worked out over 2,000 years of thinking about the Bible is for checks and balances of many social institutions in our culture.
Dr. John Mark Reynolds is director of the Torrey Honors Institute and professor of philosophy at Biola University in La Mirada, California, author of two recent columns about Rush Limbaugh, Rush Gave a Bad Speech, and Rush is Not the Right Leader for the Reagan Revolution Phase 2. You can find a link to both of these columns under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Dr. Reynolds, thank you very much.
Oh, it was a great pleasure to be here. Let's talk again sometime.
All right, folks, the rest of this first hour is dedicated to your thoughts on Rush Limbaugh's worldview. Call or email us now this Monday afternoon, March the 23rd. Our phone number, 1-877-623-6943, 1-877-623-6943, and our in-studio email address. We get it right here in the studio in real time, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. You've heard what Dr. Reynolds had to say. Do you agree or disagree about Rush Limbaugh's worldview? Two utopian view of man and his potential and his ability and capacity to do good not only for himself but for others? 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E, or talkback@issuesetc.org. Do you wish that Rush Limbaugh spent more time talking about social issues? The moral issues like abortion, gay marriage, and embryonic stem cell research. I mean, not everything comes down to tax cuts and smaller government. What about those issues where we do need, if let's say, for instance, we want Roe v. Wade overturned, government's going to have a part in that, right? If the government had a hands-off view of abortion, a laissez-faire view of abortion, then abortion would be what we have today, right? On demand, legal, gay marriage. Embryonic stem cell research? Do you think the government ought to be strong where it should be strong in areas like this, protecting the unborn, protecting life, protecting institutions like family and marriage? 1-877-623-6943. Do you think that Rush has an unbiblical understanding of the nature of man? 1-877-623-MY-I-E or talkback at issuesetc.org. It's audio open lines this Monday, March the 23rd. I'm Todd Wilkin. We will be talking about the Christian worldview in about an hour here on Issues, Etc. Ken Samples will join us for the beginning of a five-part daily series on worldviews, beginning with the Christian worldview. Then we'll compare and contrast over the next week of the program with Ken Samples. That's coming up here in about an hour. In the meantime, it's audio open lines, and then in the second hour to begin, we'll talk with Kathy Sass, Communications Director of the Catholic Diocese of Springfield, about so-called reproductive rights being considered by the Illinois House. Susan in Mississippi emails us. She says, I love this question. The first word in my mind at your homework thought assignment was vocation. So yes, he does exhibit a Christian worldview, and not because he's identified himself as a Christian. The man's richer than anybody could easily retire to a carefree life, but remains bound to his vocation because that's where he's needed, even if that need were only in his own mind. He clearly enjoys the blessings of life, work, family, failed marriages notwithstanding, says Susan, friends, leisure, and wealth, but I don't imagine he has any different thought differently or confessed any other opinion or beliefs when he was poor or still climbing. When he proclaims his beliefs, he proclaims himself with a believer's boldness and confidence. Even his wealth has served as a springboard to heighten his benevolence, or to heighten experience, it seems to me, to heighten benevolence, not to his being a better person or any more fulfilled person or even a more powerful or connected person. He does what he's been called or moved to do, and through words and deeds, his mantra, talent on loan from God, evidences his regard for his vocation and his responsibility to it, to the gifts given him. I can't think of another person as famous or as financially rewarded as Rush who's committed to fulfilling his vocation, who treats his life work like a calling. He's as faithful to it and as driven by it as my own pastor, who exhibits his Christian worldview for much less fame and money, but just as relentlessly and reliably, I've often thought about Rush that he would make a good Lutheran for his apparent understanding of adherence to vocation, to perpetual harness, and to his commitment to historical truths and helpful traditions, for his unapologetic pleasure in the gifts of God in his life, and how else is a Christian worldview more plainly exhibited? Susan, thank you very much for listening in Mississippi. What about the rest of you? I asked the question about Rush Limbaugh's view of man. Now, there's no doubt about it, this is a man dedicated to his vocation, a man dedicated to the truth. But is his worldview, especially as regards to man's potential, a thoroughly biblical one? Think about it. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or email us, talkback@issuesetc.org. And I know you have an opinion on this, so call or email us during this break. It's a great time to call. 10 more minutes on this question. Rush Limbaugh's worldview, is it a Christian worldview, especially as regards man and his capacity? 1-877-623-6943 or talkback@issuesetc.org. I mean, think about it. There have been many worldviews that overestimate or underestimate man's ability. Most of them overestimate man's ability. Is Rush Limbaugh's worldview one of those? There are consequences to ideas, aren't there? If one has a worldview where man is essentially, well, just a little lower than angels, but more or less an angel, and if left to his own devices economically, socially, morally, everyone pursuing his own enlightened self-interest, everything turns out best for everyone. Is that an overestimation of man's ability? Is it a Christian worldview? 1-877-623-6943 or talkback@issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. 10 more minutes with the question, Rush Limbaugh's worldview, is it a Christian worldview, especially regarding man and his capacity? 1-877-623-6943 or talkback@issuesetc.org. By the way, folks, I'm sure you realize that this is a subject that no one else in Christian radio would even touch, right? Where else will you hear it or be asked to express your opinion? 1-877-623-6943. My IE, 877-623-6943, or email us talkback@issuesetc.org. We're talking about Rush Limbaugh's worldview based on a conversation earlier with Dr. John Mark Reynolds, director of the Torrey Honors Institute and professor of philosophy at Biola University in La Mirada, California. He's recently written twice, two columns about Rush Limbaugh and his worldview. Christians can agree or disagree on this issue, folks. And if you have an argument to make, then I want to hear it. Susan emailed us before. Don't be afraid to call or email. talkback@issuesetc.org or 1-877-623-6943. Here's Don in Kansas. Hi, Don.
Hello. How are you today?
Very well.
I have been listening to Rush for a long time, and I've always enjoyed hearing his different views. He brings out a lot of information that the mainstream media does not bring out. It would be helpful if Rush had had a good instructions in Luther's Small Catechism. That would have brought his worldview in line more with the Christian faith. But I do appreciate what he does.
Do you think he has, especially with regard to the capacity of man as a fallen creature, do you think he has a thoroughly biblical worldview, Don?
No, not in that area. That's where you need some correction, because he does not seem to understand fallen man and human nature and how it works. Because human nature can be very evil, and that's why it needs to be brought in line with the Word of God.
Don, thank you very much, and thanks for listening in Kansas. What about the rest of you? 1-877-623-6943 or talkback@issuesetc.org. Frank in North Carolina. Frank, thank you for waiting.
Hey, Pastor, welcome. I really don't think Rush Limbaugh has a Christian worldview at all, but I'm actually sort of okay with that. For years, we really had to dig deep to figure out, what is his religious view as a whole. I mean, he kept that very very close to the chest, and I'm sort of okay with that as well.
Well, so what about his view of man? I mean, this notion that it seems to be.
Like your previous caller says, he's got He's got no understanding of that, at least from his, you know, the way he approaches politics and the way he approaches the government. I've been on both sides. I've worked for the government, and I've worked for corporate folks. And there's bad on both sides.
Hey, Frank, why do you think so many American Christians think that Rush Limbaugh speaks for them lock, stock, and barrel?
I think the reason for this is he's getting back to a traditional value. He's getting back to almost like the golden age of what we think America is, Americana, 1950s, Leave It to Beaver kind of a view of America. And we don't have that anymore, and I think that a lot of folks miss that. I think a lot of folks long for it.
Why do you think he doesn't talk much about those particular social issues like abortion, like gay marriage, like embryonic stem cell research?
I really don't know. I think he just doesn't want to wait out. He does talk about abortion a little bit, or stem cell, rather. But I just don't think he wants to wade into areas where faith might intrude.
All right. Thank you very much, Frank, and thank you so much for listening in North Carolina. Tom in Texas emails us. He says, I believe it was the French tourist de Tocqueville, please excuse and ignore my spelling, you did fine, by the way, who made the comment in the early 1800s that America was great because America was good, indicating that America's strength resulted from their Christian faith and principles. He also said that when America ceased to be good, it would cease to be great. Lack of Christian faith would weaken the nation. I think that it was John Adams who said that democracy would only work for a Christian nation. Of course, he didn't know anything about India at the point, but we could debate whether democracy works in India. With the Christian faith, writes Tom in Texas, becoming more and more secondary in our country, a larger government has resulted and is necessary. If we all put into practice our Christian faith, we could get along with smaller government. The size of government and the strength of Christianity are in inverse proportion. Russia's quote-unquote utopian view, and I think that's a good term to use to describe his worldview, assumes that we are more Christian than we really are, because he, as many evangelicals, assume that Christianity is only a lifestyle, not a matter of God-given faith. Therefore, he assumes a smaller government will work. He's attacking the symptoms, but not the cause of our problems. The problem is a lack of Christian faith. Stopgap clues, either on the part of Republicans, Democrats, or libertarians, will not solve the problems we are experiencing. Therefore, Russia's solutions are short-sighted and lacking. That's Tom in Texas. Thank you very much for listening in Texas as well. What is it? The appeal is obvious. I mean, a man who believes in moral principles, but when it comes to applying them specifically at his bully pulpit on things like gay marriage, you know he's against it. But he very seldom will explain why. Embryonic stem cell research, you're pretty sure he's against it, but it would be nice to hear him explain why, or abortion as well. When it comes to moral principles, people say, we want to go back to that. But of course, a Christian worldview is more than simply a moral worldview. A moral worldview is possible with a very high and enlightened view of man, which the Bible does not teach in any shape, matter, or form, not a high or man as an enlightened individual, but in fact the opposite. Man is darkened in his thinking, in his natural thinking, and even Christians struggling in the old man against that darkened thinking. Not man's potential to do good for himself and others, but man's potential to do evil when left to his own devices. I mean, I think the Bible has something to say about why God instituted governments to put a check on man as he is pursuing his own enlightened self-interests. Scott in Oakwood, Illinois says, perhaps learning the answer to whether Russia's worldview is Christian is not as nearly important as who in politics has a Christian worldview we Christians can trust. Well, that's a good question, too. Scott, thank you very much. Susan's listening in Tupelo, Mississippi. Susan, welcome.
Hi, thanks. Just a little distinction. I'm not sure that it's man that he expresses his faith in as much as free man, or man free from an oppressive government. I think that's something of a distinction anyway. And I think that's within a Christian worldview. In fact, within a Lutheran worldview, I think.
Well, okay, I'm having a hard time.
Free from,
I'm having a hard time seeing the distinction there, because if man, free from an oppressive government, will do, if pursuing his own light and self-interest, will do what's good for him and ultimately what's good for his neighbor, therefore right. Government, the less the better. I don't see how that's distinguished from man left to his own devices essentially will do good, which is certainly not what the Bible says.
Right. I guess that's presuming that law and order will, you know, have a regular course of correcting, of governing man or man's bad behavior. But yeah, I see what you're saying.
All right, Susan, thank you very much. Now, see, Susan is reflecting here a bit of the tension, isn't it? That if you want to say that government is never the solution, then you need to say that things like the courts are never the solution. Law is never the solution. What is government? Government is, at least in our context, the consent of the governed to certain things like laws and courts and elections. You know, if government's never the solution, then elections are never the solution either. Now, we're not talking about ultimate solutions. We're talking about intermediate solutions. But if you have a view of man that all he needs to do is be free of whatever government would do, good or bad, that he's better off with less, always less government, then you essentially have a view of man that is utopian. Why does the Bible say man needs government? Because man, left to his own devices, does harm to himself and to others. Now, you can't say that government is always always the problem and never the solution and not apply the same principle, if you want to be consistent, to things like, well, if big government's bad, what about big business? Business left to its own devices doesn't always do good, just like man individually. If we're going to have, here's the problem. Rush Limbaugh seems to think that government is thoroughly fallen and man isn't, or government is thoroughly fallen and business isn't. Well, guess what? Both are. Completely. CEOs are sinners too, just like politicians. So why does Scripture say we need government? Paul tells us in the middle chapters of Romans that we need government. God has actually instituted government, that it is a gift of God, that there is such a thing. And this is perhaps what's lacking in Rush Limbaugh's worldview, that the founders did believe good government. There is such a thing as good government. Good government isn't no government or the least amount of government possible. It is government where God intends it to exercise its God-given authorities to curb evil, to reward good, to protect you, to protect the nation, to bear the sword in your protection, and to act, as St. Paul says, as ministers of God on your behalf. Whether you're a CEO or a politician or an average Joe like me who only votes every couple of months, we must remember that we are fallen and God has given us government for a good reason. And what God gives is good, even if we abuse it. When we come back, hour two of Issues, Etc.
Weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.